Good evening. Good to see everyone tonight. I want to thank Don for leading that song just before we get into our lesson tonight. Just the idea alone of ring, that action verb, denotes us going out and doing something because of our faith. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, a faith that transforms us. Still in Tim's thunder just a little bit, but as we move into the year of 2018, the theme that we're going to be focusing on throughout the year is transformed. We talked about this with the youth group and their parents back in December, just some of the things that we're going to do in 2018 to be more transformed in our lives. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on a little bit tonight. After Jesus showed Thomas his wounds, it was only then that Thomas really believed who he was and what had just happened. And we see in verse 29 of John chapter 20, "Because you have seen me," Jesus says, "you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And that's us tonight in this room. And so as we think about this concept, I want us to open up in prayer as we begin. Grace Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your word, for giving us your son and his sacrifice for us. And we pray that as we are in this year of 2018, that you will give us the strength and the courage and the faith to act upon what we believe. And we pray that you will not require us to have huge things to truly believe and act on our faith, but that we can do it simply by your word and by truly understanding and trusting you and what you have in store for us. We pray that you will clear our minds, clear our hearts tonight as we look into your word so that we can truly transform our lives based on our faith. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So what is faith? What is belief? And what type of actions does it require of us to truly prove that we have that faith and that belief? Today, this morning, Brother Marvin had an awesome class about discipleship compared to just simple membership in the church and what it meant to truly be a disciple and truly be not just a convert, but be somebody that goes out and actually follows through with their faith. And it was kind of ironic as I was thinking about that, kind of goes along with what I'm talking about tonight. As Curtis just read, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We have never seen God physically. We have never seen some of the awe-inspiring miracles that the apostles saw. If you have faith tonight, why do you have it? Is it simply because you just believe and you trust God? We've never had God physically come down and speak to us through some burning bush. We've never had God come down physically and smack us in the face and say, "Listen to me, I am God." We've never had those physical things that Thomas got to see there that day. But yet we're required to have that type of faith that causes us to actually do something. I've been thinking about my own faith as of late, just because I recently caught up with a college friend a couple weeks ago, and he told a story about his great-grandmother. And this story goes, it was his granddad's grandmother, so way before his time. They called her Big Mama, and she was Big Mama because she was about 4 foot something, all of about 100 pounds, and so Big Mama was what they referred to her throughout her life. But she was a devout Christian that lived it out every day of her life. But she had a husband that was not. And as time went on through their marriage, her husband began to resent her for her faith, doing things to her that would cause her strife and pain in terms of even acting out her faith. He would go out and mess up her car, causing her to have to walk to worship. One day, he even told her, he said, "If you go," he said, "the kids will be beat." And as she walked away to the church building, she could hear the kids screaming as she walked away. And it was difficult for him to even recount this of a woman that he didn't even really know. But she woke up one Sunday morning after time had passed, and she started getting ready for church and realized that her husband was also putting on clothes, but had just ignored it, didn't say much about it, just let it go, didn't pay no attention, proceeded to go out the door, walk on to church, and went on just kind of knowing that he was getting ready for something. And then she went on, went through the sermon, invitation song, preacher preached, invitation song, and during the invitation song, she saw him come forward. And on that day, he was baptized. little to her knowledge that he had followed her to church, had stood outside the entire service, and then came forward during that invitation song. And she was just the beginning of a long life of preachers. Her son, her grandkids, her great-great-grandkids today are, you know, living the life of preacher's kids. And as I thought about that story, I thought, you know what? I led a lot milder consequences than my children getting beat keep me from doing and putting God first. I can't imagine being in that position and thinking, okay, that's a big consequence. I can put a halt right now for that reason. But she walked on and went on knowing that her faith caused her to act and glorify God in a way that would be difficult. This woman's life was the epitome of what I see in James chapter 2. If you would turn there, James chapter 2. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. I can't help but ask myself, what am I doing to show my faith? What actions am I doing? Yeah, I'm a minister. Yeah, I spend time with the kids. Yeah, sometimes it's forced and I don't want to do it. So what am I really doing at the time when I need to show that I'm a true Christian? I'm not just a convert, but that I am a disciple. Not that I can ever do enough to get into heaven's gate. We see from Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, but because of the works of the law, no one will be justified. So it's not any amount of things that we can do that's going to get us into heaven. But I do ask myself if I'm truly showing my faith, and I'm reminded of the great examples that we find in Hebrews. And I think about that definition of Hebrews chapter 1 of what faith is, knowing that we don't really see the things that we believe in. Like Abraham, he didn't always receive the promises that he was promised, but he still acted upon that faith and knowing that he would receive them. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we're going to spend the remainder of our time tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. As we begin 2018, I hope that we can gain encouragement from these examples in the accounts of the lives that they lived. You may be finding it hard to do something you feel called by God to do, or just simply acting upon that faith that you know you have. Look at verse 4. Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by his accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks today. Enoch, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We saw in that verse, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And without that faith, as we saw in James, We have to have those acts that accompany that faith. Noah, in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Abraham, which I spoke on a couple weeks ago, Abraham, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to that place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, and knowing not where he was going. By faith he went and lived in the land of promise, that is, in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him in that same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has his foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Sarah, verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful to who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham again is recounted in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he would receive the promises in that act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, though Isaac you shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Isaac, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Jacob, in verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Joseph, in verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Moses, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses again, verse 24, by faith, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater than wealth, than the treasures of Egypt. For he was, I have no idea why I'm crying. I could just say circumcision over and over and over again, but I'm not going to. Ugh. Thanks. For he was looking to reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured his seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn may not touch him. The Israelites, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given the friendly welcome to the spies. And we see in verses 32 through 38 a list of people. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about it in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Some amazing thoughts about the people of old. But then we see in verses 13 through 16 and reiterated in verse 39, verses 13, all these died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear, and they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And then again in verse 39, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Just putting yourself in these men and these women's shoes really makes us think about, what are we really doing? Are we showing our faith just by showing up? Are we showing our faith just by not cursing? Are we showing our faith just by not going to that movie? What are we doing? What am I doing? It's not enough to just believe and have faith, as James said, because even the demons believe. So what? Who cares? We must know that God will provide an act on that knowledge. We must be willing to step out on a limb and possibly away from comfortable situations. As our theme this year is transformation, I pray that we'll be a church that's not just transformed by our faith to believe, but transformed to believe. What's the purpose of belief if we don't go out and share that with those that we see, if we don't go out and act? Turn with me over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We may not be acting because we're so caught up in the world. Speaking of certain authorities here, John says, nevertheless, many, even the authorities, believed in him, Jesus, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. More than the glory that comes from God. It's scary that today in this time we may be seeking glory from the world versus what God has to give us. Because in the end, the glory that we get from the world is going to pass by really quick, quicker than we think. I look and see Phoenix is already 7, and it blows my mind. And I just pray that as he grows older, and as Seth grows older, and as Audrina grows older, that they will all act in a way that their faith comes out. And don't just believe like we see. It's scary to think that we may be putting men first, unlike these heroes that we see in Hebrews chapter 11. So I challenge us tonight as we move forward into this new year, as Tim talks about the theme, the ways that we can all be transformed, because he's going to be giving us different ways throughout the year that we can transform our life. I pray that we will start praying now for those open doors that we talked about in class this morning, for the courage, for the wisdom to do those things, and for the strength when they come up, when it may be a difficult time, when we may have to walk away hearing the screams of our children, to know that we're still putting on Christ first. As you think about your life, if there's something that we can do as a church family to help you, to rally around you, to pray for you, you may be someone that hasn't put on Christ yet in baptism and truly committed to him. We challenge you to do that, if not tonight, soon. Or study with somebody, or think about it, or pray about it, because we're here as a family of God to help you. If there's anything that you need right now, let us know as we stand and sing this next song.
I hear the Savior say,